Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 53. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." This is God's holy word.
Please bow in prayer. Lord God, in the teaching of your word, we pray for your spirit to be present, that we would listen for your truth as to how we seek to glorify you in our daily lives. In Christ we pray, amen. I realize that on this first Sunday of the Lenten season, here I am already talking about betrayal and the arrest of Jesus, which is normally going to be observed on Maundy Thursday, weeks from now, during Holy Week. Through the Lenten season, on the messages that I'll be offering on Sunday mornings, going to be looking at some of those themes, some of the bigger themes, and maybe considering them a little bit out of order, so that when we come to Holy Week, certain things might stand out for us. And so we begin with the ugly word of betrayal. The word betrayal, there's no sense of positivity to the word at all. Betrayal is an act of deliberate disloyalty. Deliberate. We've thought about it before it's actually happened. Betrayal could be when a friend tells another person of one of our secrets. Betrayal involves aspects of misleading and deceiving others. And betrayal results in destroying someone's trust. I'm going to share with you three well-known instances of betrayal. Two of them you might recognize. I don't know about the one in the middle. No treachery is worse than betrayal by a family member or friend. Julius Caesar, he knew such treachery. Among the conspirators who assassinated the Roman leader on March 15, 44, was Marcus Junius Brutus. Caesar not only trusted Brutus, he favored him as one of his own sons. But according to Roman historian, Caesar first resisted the onslaught of the assassins that came. But when he saw Brutus among them with his dagger drawn, Caesar ceased to struggle and he pulled up the top of his robe to cover his face. And he asked the famous question, "You too, Brutus?" And maybe one you're not necessarily familiar with, but one that was shared with me in my time of education, William Tyndale. He was the first one that translated the Hebrew and the Greek into an English Bible for, quote, the common people. And in 1535, he was betrayed by a friend, and he was arrested and taken prisoner off to a castle. And though he was allowed to continue to work on the translation, he eventually died by burning at the stake in October of 1536. And then if you're in the United States, I have to be careful about this question now, but in the United States, there's a name from long ago that comes to mind when we're talking about betrayal. Benedict Arnold, thank you. Benedict Arnold is synonymous with the word or the concept of betrayal. He was once one of George Washington's most revered and talented field marshals. But just a few years later, Arnold turned his back on the Americans and became a spy for the British. Arnold felt that his achievements had been insufficiently rewarded, and that others took credit for some of his planning, his tactics, and then he was passed over for promotions. And his debts began to climb. So he was resentful, and he was bitter, and he was in need of money. So Arnold reached an agreement with the British. He planned to weaken the defenses in a certain area so the British could overrun that area. He was doing that for a large sum of money, with the possible bonus of George Washington being in that area and being taken care of. Arnold's betrayer was discovered when the British intelligence contact that he had been communicating with was captured, and they found some incriminating documents with that person. Three historical acts of betrayal, including two infamous names, Brutus and Benedict Arnold. And we can think betrayal is of long ago or beyond us, but here's a list of 10 ways or 10 examples of betrayal that can exist in our own lives or in the community around us. Not showing up on time. Not making your spouse a priority. Not being there when your spouse or friend is hurting or sick. Not contributing to the well-being of your family. It's more about me than it is about us. Betrayal can mean not keeping promises. It can mean keeping secrets. Betrayal can be defined as lying. It can be It can be putting down a friend in public or in private. It can be committing an act of emotional or physical infidelity. Betrayal can be physically violent against another person. It's quite the ugly list. In reading about the betrayal of Jesus by one of his inner circle of disciples named Judas, I shared these historical cases of betrayal and this list of unfortunate examples of how people can betray one another. I share this so we can be aware of the varied forms and the depths of betrayal that can surround us in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. It's always good to think about the sin of others, but we have to deal with our own sin. So in this passage that Linda read for us from Luke 22, here are some key points or aspects of Jesus' betrayal by Judas. If you go back to the upper room, when they were sitting at the table celebrating the Passover meal and Jesus instituted what we know as the sacrament of communion, if you read the scriptures carefully, Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed. Not only did he know he was going to be betrayed, he knew who was going to betray him. I wonder about that because Jesus could have stopped his own betrayal. He knew it was coming. He knew it was going to be done by Judas. Why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he prevent his betrayal, his arrest, and ultimately his crucifixion in that moment? Jesus must have known, as God's Son, that his betrayal was just one step bringing him to the cross. It was part of God's plan of salvation, so he didn't act to stop it. And then later, after the Last Supper, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane three different times, and it was a very fervent, it was a heart-wrenching time of prayer. And the weight of the world was on his shoulders as he prayed, as he prepared to go to the cross, doing the will of God, his Father, and added to that weight was the betrayal of Judas, a disciple, someone he had been pouring himself into for 3 years or so in public ministry. He was dealing with that weight of betrayal. In Luke 22, but much earlier in verse 3, Scripture tells us that Satan entered into Judas. Satan entered Judas. And Judas allowed Satan to use him. Judas wasn't strong enough. Judas didn't have the faith in Jesus to be patient and to wait. Scholarship says that Judas probably was acting in a way so he wanted to force the hand of Jesus. He knew the miraculous power of Jesus. And whatever he thought Jesus could have done, here he was forcing it by betrayal. But then after the betrayal, Judas realized the deep wrong he had committed. And that can be like us. When we have lied, when we have betrayed someone, we know it's wrong. And we can be struck by our sinful behavior. Judas realized, but he couldn't deal with it. He couldn't find the courage within him to face Jesus and to ask for forgiveness. Whenever I think of Judas in that moment, I also think of Peter, one of the disciples who denied knowing Jesus three times. Earlier, as Jesus described what it would mean for him to go to the cross, to suffer that persecution, Peter said, "I will join you." And Jesus told him, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." And Peter was sure that he wouldn't. But then the rest of Scripture story tells us that Peter denied once, twice, three times, and didn't realize it until he heard the rooster crow. And in that moment, he knew, Peter knew that he had done wrong. He couldn't stop himself, but after the resurrection, he could face Jesus, and he was restored through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, his Lord. From the account, Judas was fully accountable for his sin before God. We will be fully accountable for our sin before God. In considering the reading of Luke 22 in verses 47 through 53, here's some of the key verses that I want to highlight for you. If you think about the account, a crowd came up. The number of those who were sent to arrest Jesus shows that the religious leaders clearly regarded this as a dangerous operation, a dangerous situation, and they wanted to have a crowd there to make sure it went successfully, to be done without any risk of riot or failure. So there was a crowd. And Judas approached Jesus to kiss him. That was a custom of the day, and that's a custom in today's world, depending upon what culture you are a part of, but to greet one another with a customary kiss. But it's that kiss that Judas would use to identify Jesus. Remember, long ago, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have headlamps. They carried lanterns that didn't give off a very bright glow. It was dim, and it was at night. And contrary to the pictures that we might see of Jesus, sometimes he has a halo, sometimes he's always dressed in a white robe. In this account, those that had given the money to Judas, they weren't sure they would be able to identify Jesus because he didn't stand out in the crowd. And they wanted to get the right person. And so they relied on Judas betraying Jesus with the kiss, identifying for them Jesus himself. And Jesus asks of Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Because Jesus knew the irony of the situation, being betrayed by someone that knew him so well, he was greeting him with a warm greeting, a kiss. And essentially, he was asking Judas, "Are you so dead to all feeling that you can kiss and betray?" Judas, in that moment, is a good example of a sinful conscience. Again, He thought about it ahead of time. The betrayal of Jesus was a terrible sin, and Judas bears full responsibility for it. Yet God, in his providence, he used it as a way to deliver Jesus into the hands of his adversaries so that he would go to the cross and be sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins and ultimately arise from the grave on Easter morning in the promise of eternal life. And then at the ending in verse 53, Jesus says, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." I hear this verse and I am transported back to my high school days with my mother always telling me, "Eric, be home by midnight. Nothing good ever happens in the dark." She is pretty true. This is your hour when darkness reigns. Jesus explained why he went with the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and the elders and the many soldiers that he came to arrest him. He had the power to stop that from happening, but he went because it wasn't his hour. It was their hour when darkness reigned. By all outward appearance, it would seem to be their hour, not the hour of Jesus, because Jesus was willing to live out the will of his heavenly Father. And he went to the cross for all. So with all of that, here are four things I encourage you during the season of Lent to consider and to ponder. The betrayal was personal. Judas was a disciple. He was a friend. And he wasn't immune from betrayal. Realize that sin is a betrayal of Jesus. When I asked you to consider and ponder, as I was driving early morning yesterday with the beauty of that white snow covering everything, And really, we should have snow all of the time. Because those five deer at the roadway that were ready to jump across, I could see them against that white background. It was beautiful. But I was pondering the message, and it struck me. Sin is a betrayal of Jesus. And I just dealt with that phrase all throughout the yesterday. When we sin, it's a betrayal of the love and the grace and the mercy Jesus died for. And so we turn to him in prayer and we seek to be clean through his forgiveness. Last Sunday, if you were able to be here, I talked about putting Jesus first. Well, not putting Jesus first, not putting faith in Jesus first, is a form of betrayal. Please consider and ponder that. And always be on your guard. Be looking at your own thoughts, be looking at your own actions, be alert. Lies and all kinds of things, broken promises, secrets, they can happen in a moment's notice. But be on your guard. Be alert so as not to betray. Not to betray your Lord, not to betray yourself, and not to betray others. But if that does happen, I pray that you have the courage to face Jesus and confess sin and be restored, because he promises that to each one of us. Praise be to God. Amen.
God's word says that we will find joy in offering our time, our talents, and money to meet the needs of others. Let us give now freely, sacrificially, and cheerfully towards the work of his kingdom. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we dedicate these gifts to you. Bless them that they may be used to further your kingdom through the spreading of your word and your grace. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning, we will be singing number 330, Only Trust Him. And after the spoken benediction, we will sing verse 1 of Guide My Feet.
Thank you.
by placing your trust in Him. May you have the peace of God within your heart through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ your Lord. Amen. Amen.